Yes, a couple more statements I need to make. We talk about the three areas that rebellions are more prominently found in. One was words, reasoning, and what the other one is? Words, reasoning, and thoughts. Words, reasoning, and thoughts. Those are the three main areas that rebellion is found more frequently. But that's another couple of more statements I need to deal with concerning the area of words. Then we're going to move on to reason. Now, here's two important points you want to remember in this area here about words, because words, you rebel through words by a word called reviling, R-E-V-I-L-I-N-G, reviling. I'm going to give you a definition of reviling. It helps us to understand the lesson a little bit more. To speak about someone or something in a very critical or insulting way. To speak about someone or something in a very critical way, reviling. And that have separated more ministries, more families, more anything, more pastor relationship with his members, most pastor relationship with his service or his health ministry, or those that have served under their leadership than anything else. Because reviling is not of God, because it's against what God says. Speaking evil against those that God had put as an authority. And whether they're right or wrong, it's not for you to judge. It's solely dependent upon God to judge his leaders. But people find it's so easy to say things, and I almost won't say it's easy for God to judge, but God does not want to judge. God rather not have to judge. But judgment do come. Might come soon, might come late, but it will come. There's one thing that keeps the judgment from coming is repentance. And most people have a problem repenting mainly because this other word, pride. And they're thinking they're right. And they refuse to repent. They'd rather take the judgment. And I don't know if I want to have to be judged on the basis of me not wanting to die to my pride. My goodness. So look, let's get to the lesson. There are two things which causes Christians to lose their power. Number one, sin. Everybody knows sin keeps you from losing, or causes you to lose power. Sin separates you from God. Yes. And when sin separates you from God, it's just like you take an engine out of a car on a slope, a hill, and you give it a little push. Well, the momentum will take it down the hill. You think it, and you somebody sit behind the driver, you think they're going someplace. But as soon as they reach the level plane, their power is gone because they're running off momentum. And most people that's in rebellion, that left churches in rebellion, you know, they think they're doing okay. But guess what they're running off? Momentum. Sooner or later, the momentum going to run out. And sooner or later, you're going to see them for what they're really worth. I don't get happy when that happens, because it doesn't have to happen. And that's one of the results of people's action. Every action is followed by reaction. You know, when I was in the chemical plant, they told us, you know, we'd have safety meetings all the time, you know, because they were concerned about you getting hurt on the job. But one of the main points they brought out was, accidents don't just happen. Accidental cause, you see it. So what I'm saying is, when you see people fail in ministry, fail in a personal life, it don't just happen. It's always a cause. You see it? Yes. Always the cause. Every failing ministry, every person that walked out of a ministry in rebellion, 9 times out of 10, reviling was the cause. And watch this statement I'm about to make. Speaking inadvertently is largely responsible for the breaking of the unity of the church and the losing of power. Probably most difficulty in the churches today are due primarily to slanderous words. Only a minor part of the difficulty are real problems. Isn't that something? Only a minor part. Most of the problem are caused by slanderous word, someone reviling that started and upset a whole entire church. Isn't that something? If in the church we can stop slandering, we will have eliminated the major part of our difficulties. How we need to confess our sins before God and ask for his forgiveness of our sin. All our words of reviling would be carefully and thoroughly terminated before God. And then you bring the scriptures in, James 3:1. Do the fountains send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? There ought not to come from the same lips loving words and slanderous words. Isn't that something? You know, you can pause and think about that. Pause and think about that. You know, sometimes we want to think that we don't fall in some of these categories. We want to say we never speak ill about any of God's authority. We want to say that. But if you search yourself, search your heart, see, authority is authority. I don't care what avenue it falls in. And sometimes we think we're innocent, but if you look back on and reflect on some of the words and some of the things you've said, my God, you'll fall on your knees right now and say, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned against you and against all your authority. I've said things. Ignorantly, saying what someone else, repeating what someone else say, got caught up in a conversation, and I got dragged in a conversation that I should not even let myself get led into. We've been there. We've been there. Yes, we've been there. Honestly, we've been there. But these things ought not to be so. It doesn't make it right that you go down these avenues. And Satan wants you to think it's but a small thing. Right. But it's not a small thing. It's something that Satan, it's a hook that been put into you that you don't know your hook. I fish a lot. Well, I used to fish a lot anyway. And I've hooked a fish, and he didn't know he was hooked. No, he didn't know he was hooked. He was just still swimming around until I put the tension on the line. And when I put the little tension on line, he said, oh, I'm hooked. What I'm saying is don't bite the bait. You bite the bait, you're going to get hooked. Don't yield to a conversation of the enemy. It's so easy to get dragged into these conversations. So easy. And you might say, well, I didn't say anything. Well, you're listening and not saying anything sometimes is agreement to what they're saying. And so you got to separate yourself. Yeah, it's a lonely life when you want to do what's right. You lose a lot of friends when you don't want to talk the way they talk and think the way they think. It's a great separation if you want to do what's right. That Jesus talked about a narrow road. And this is a narrow road you got to walk. Absolutely. Because it's not popular not speaking against authority. Because everybody speaks against authority. Who you think you are? That you more than us? Mm-hmm. That you don't speak against nobody? You perfect? The Lord made you perfect? We all got our flaws and faults. You see, people got these little things to drag you in and make you feel guilty, you see. May God, listen to this. May God set a watch over our lips. And not over our lips only, but also over our hearts. That we may be delivered from rebellious thoughts and reviling words. May reviling words forever depart from us. Now that's an act that you have to do yourself. I mean, that's something you got to work on. That's something that you got to set your heart to do. Lord, there will not be any corrupt words. The Bible talks about that. Proceed out of my mouth. Only that which is good to edify. If I can't build up, I'm not tearing nobody down. Because you find out that you think you're building yourself up by telling somebody else down, but no, you're deceiving yourself, James said. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a wicked, wicked, wicked way that Satan sets for us. Yes. His wicked scheme to get us to be part of rebellious action and words. And so he don't come right out front with it, but he'll ease it in on you. I'm gonna tell you, I did some witnessing this weekend, and I wasn't witnessing by my own choice. This certain sect of people come around knocking on your doors. I ain't gonna call their name, but they witnessing. And so I see him coming, and I really don't want him to put his information out, not where I live anyway. People that I know, they don't need to hear that because everybody don't have the discernment. And I caught him before he talked to anybody. And so, make the long story short, we got to the point. I began to tell him about Jesus and the blood, and he telling me where he agreed and what, and oh yeah, we believe that. And I said, but the blood is, oh yeah, we believe in the blood. I said, you must be born. Oh yeah, we believe you got to be born again. And they got to all these things. I said, where we differ at? Mm. I said, where do we part ways at? Because I got a little bold then. Because I know he wasn't telling me the whole truth, but not about the truth. And I didn't study, so he couldn't tell me nothing. I said, what about the Holy Spirit? Uh-huh. He said, we don't believe he's a person. I said, see, that's where we part ways at. And so my point is that is everything sounds good, but it's to drag you into something uh-huh. without knowledge. And 99% of the people that are uneducated in the doctrines of Christ fall for a lack of knowledge in certain areas. And they think it's okay. I said, no. I said, if the Holy Spirit is not a person, you just offended my God. I said, because the Holy Ghost is my friend. I said, he leads me and guides me into all truth. He is the person. I said, this will be Paul Way's at. I said, I wish I can help you, but I know I can't. And so my point is this, that sometimes Satan slide. One little thing. Everything sounds good except one little thing. Mm-hmm. Everything looks good except one little thing. One little thing. I know it more. I could have probably found a few more things, but that's how he deceived people. And so Satan is a deceiver. And if you don't watch, he'll deceive you and have you thinking it's the truth when it's not the full truth, not the whole truth. Jesus said, I'm the way and what? The truth and the life. See, if Jesus said, Jesus talked about the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He shall guide you. He is a person. He shall guide you into all truth. So if you're not a person, why did Jesus call him he? You calling Jesus a liar. So I'm showing how you can be deceived. The Holy Ghost is the person. I respect him as the third person of the Godhead. And he got me all riled up. And I couldn't help him. That was the sad part. I wanted to pray, send a prayer with him, but he wasn't for that. Okay, let's deal with reasoning now. We hear the definition of reasoning. Reasoning is the process of thinking about something in a logical way. Logic. Sometimes your logic destroy revelation. You see, logic. The process of thinking about something in a logical way in order to form a conclusion or a judgment. You see it? And so let's go along this line of reasoning for a while to show you why it's so important that you got to put away reasoning. Why your words got to be watched. And then you got to watch this avenue called reasoning, because reasoning has something to do with your rebellion. Not your rebellion, but rebellion. All right. I don't call you a rebellious person, but if you shoe fit, no. No. Forget I said that. All right, reasoning. For the children being now yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God, am I reading that? I'm reading in Romans. I'm trying to think of what chapter and verse that is. I didn't study that chapter and verse.
Romans 9.
Okay, can y'all find that in your Bibles? Romans 9:11. I'm going to read it out of here. The translation might be a little bit different, but just follow me the best you can. For the children being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God, according to the election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elders shall serve the younger, even as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Now, the reason we're looking at this scripture here, because God don't always do things logically, but he always have a reason to do things. And he doesn't do anything without a purpose and a reason. And so, the point going here now is that whenever people rebel at times, they want to give you a good reason for rebellion, for why they believe what they believe. They're going to try to show you points and logical, systematic thinking of why you should be the way you are and not think the way they think. You see it? So let's deal with this reason a little bit, because reasoning, if we're going to read the scripture, how reasoning sometimes builds strongholds around your thoughts and hold your thoughts captive. I mean, the real thought, the true thought, and keep them bound so you can't do what God said, because you got this wall of reasoning then build a fortress around your thoughts. Hold your thoughts captive. Now, watch this now. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that had mercy. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, for this very purpose did I raise thee up, that I might show in thee my power, and that my name might be published abroad in all the earth. So then he had mercy on whom he had, upon whom he will, and whom he will, he hardened. Thou wast said then unto me, why do he still find fault? For who withstandeth his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing form say to him that formed it, why didst thou make me thus? Or hath not the potter a right over the clay from the same lump to make one part a vessel unto honor and another a vessel unto of wrath fitted unto destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he also called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. Romans 9:11-24. Slander comes from reasoning. Man's rebellion against authority is manifested in word, remember this, in reason, in thought. If he does not know authority, he will speak slanderous words. Such words usually issue out of his reason. Now here's one example of what Brother Nee is saying. And you relate this to some things that you've seen. I know you experienced things in life. Everybody's seen some things in life along this line. Right. And sometimes we're going, if you look at the root of these things, you'll know that everything these people say or done that was rebellious or anything, they figured they had a reason to say it. They had a right to say it. But God sees things different. Miriam spoke against Moses. Well, let's back up to Ham. Ham had a reason to slander his father, for Noah was naked. You see it? That was his reason. My father got out of line. My father told him, say something, you know, we don't do like I do like I say do. You've heard that before? And it looked like my father had double standard in his rules. The rules look like it go for us, but not for him. See, some people got reason for that. And so they figure it's all right to say some things, but you don't know that God still the judge. Absolutely. You're not the judge. God the judge. God judged Noah. Ham didn't judge Noah. His two brothers had good sense and respected their father enough to cover his nakedness. And sometimes that's what we got to do. Just keep your mouth closed and let the Lord handle it. The Lord know what he's doing. You're not going to fix it by your much wisdom. But God always in control. Don't say what you think all the time. I hate when people do that. They say everything they think. No, everything you think might not be right. Everything you think might not be along God's will. Make sure. Choose words properly. Think before you speak. Don't just speak out of your own ideas and not your own understanding. I'm just in that proverb. Lean not to your own understanding. You see? But speak only when you need to. James said, be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and slow to anger. So sometimes we just talk too much. I just have to say it like that. I don't know how else to say that. Sometimes we just speak when we don't need to speak. That's why the Lord need to put something over our tongue. Put your hand over your mouth sometimes if you can't stop from talking. Just put your hand. Just do it yourself. Shucks, I just don't need to say that. Don't put your hand on your mouth after you and say it's too late. You know, I was talking to a couple yesterday. I said words are just like a bow and an arrow. You put the arrow in the bow, and you pull it back, and when you let that arrow go, if that arrow represents words, you can't call them back. You wish you could call them back. Yes, sir. I have a lot of things I've said I wish I could call back, but I couldn't. Isn't that something you wish you could call back? Say, Lord, if I kept my tongue, if I held my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, I'd been all right. But no, sometimes they just got to say something. No, you don't just got to say something. Just hold your peace. Sometimes it's hard to hold your peace. But just hold your peace. It's going to be all right. You don't just have to say that. Boy, that's a hard lesson to learn.
Yes, sir.
Ah, that's a hard lesson to learn, especially husband and wife.
Oh, no.
Hard lesson to learn. Yeah, hard lesson to learn. Now, I went to pick up some material for the church the other day. You know, I'm always looking for somebody to witness to. Mm-hmm. But you know, Satan is tricky. And I walk in this shop, there's a piece of metal I was picking up to work on the fountain. And this big white guy walk up to me, "Who are you?" Mm. He walk up. I said, "I know he didn't say that." Now, he was a prime candidate for me to witness, but the Satan threw me off my base. I said, "Who are you?" I holler at him. And then he pulled a smirk on his face like he thought I was just going, he's trying to intimidate, people try to intimidate you. But it stirred me up. My other part of me came up a little bit. And I didn't think about witnessing after that. See, he threw me off my game. I wanted to tell him about Jesus. But now my mind wasn't on Jesus then. I wanted to reciprocate. You understand? So I should have watched my words. I shouldn't respond to him like that, because he caught me off. You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, he took me to another van. I didn't want to go in. Because you don't handle me like that. You know, and that's what people say. You don't handle me like that. No, but sometimes you got to be quiet. Let the Lord might want to do something. But I missed that one. I messed that one up big. Korah and his company, with 250 leaders, reviled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "All the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Jehovah's among them." See, you say Jehovah's among them, and they're reviling and Jehovah. So Jehovah ain't gonna be against. Jehovah ain't gonna be with no reviling. How people get so messed up? You think God with you, and you on the wrong side of the street. And you don't know you're on the wrong side of the street. You don't know you're on the side fighting against God. And you think God's going to fight against himself? God don't fight against himself. So these 250 men, God is with us. My goodness. "Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the assembly of Jehovah." They had their reason to slander. Slander words like that usually are produced by reasoning. You see, now it's and then reasoning. See, reasoning is formulated. Reasoning is logical thoughts. Reasoning is what people have in most of their meetings. You have these meetings. These people get there and have meetings. It's the reasoning meeting, and they're reasoning themselves out of the will of God, and they don't know it. You got to be mindful of these little meetings, because you find yourself, authority is always right. You see that? Always right. Our job is to submit, and correction going to come from God. You see it? Submit. Submit along with the following God. I'm not talking about just loosely submit in ignorance. You submit as long as people following God. When you stop following God, you stop submitting. That's why it's important to know the Word. That's why it's important to know the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important to let Him guide you and lead you into all truth and righteousness.
Yes.
But some Christians get led astray because they don't have no knowledge of God's Word. And they don't understand the voice of the Holy Ghost to lead them into truth and righteousness. He'll lead you right. Holy Ghost will never lead you wrong. I'm telling the truth.
Yes, sir.
Dancing in a bar. I'm giving these examples of these people that function in reasoning to let you know that a lot of times, the majority are not always right. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we sign these petitions. Be careful before you sign these petitions. check with the law before you sign these petitions to see what's right.
Absolutely.
You see? Because everybody that gathers together in groups, they ain't right. They're functioning from reasoning, from their own preconceived ideas, or the way they think things should go. Yeah, it's like that on the job. We rebel on the job because they didn't come up with some new rule, because the rule don't fit you, and you've been doing something different for the last 20 years, and now they're changing something, and you rebel against the rule. Well, you might be wrong. You see, you got to be careful what you get caught up in. Satan is a thief and a robber. He comes to do three things. We know what John said: come to steal, kill, and destroy. If you don't watch it, you think you're going to abundance, but you're going to destruction. So Dathan and Abiram seem to have an even stronger reason. They answered Moses by saying, "Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey." It didn't look like milk and honey. "Nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards." You see all this, all the reasoning? "You didn't give us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out our eyes, put out the eyes of these men?" What they meant was that their eyes could see more clearly what the land was like than where they were. What we're seeing is not what you're saying. That was their reason for the argument. You see it? What the reason for your argument? You see it? This can be applied to any area of life, you know. You arguing, you having a discussion, and it turns into an argument. Make sure your reason will line up with the Word of God. I remember God said in the Scripture, "Come, let us reason together." If you don't reason with anybody, reason with God, reason with the Father.
Yes.
All right?
Yes, sir.
You stay out of trouble like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The more they pondered, the stronger their reason for this distrust in Moses appeared to be. You see it? Sometimes people get talking about our president, and they got a reason, you see it? And so sometimes it's good to just don't say nothing. It's easy to talk when everybody else talking. Crucify him. Impeach him. Hey, you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
You know, because we got reasoning, and but still his authority. I had to repent myself. I said, "Lord, forgive me." I said, "I'm teaching this subject, and I'm number one. Crucify him. Crucify him." I had to repent. I wanted to see him crucified. And I know I was wrong for that. And I had to repent. I know I ain't by myself. I know I ain't by myself. But he's still our leader. He's still our leader. And you got to respect those God that put in authority. Yeah. And sometimes God, I heard the apostle made a statement. Is sometimes God used Pharaoh to do his will. And so sometimes you got to be careful. Sometimes you might find yourself fighting against God. So the majority not always right sometimes. Be still and know he's still God, you see. God's still God. And if anybody gonna do some correction, God know how to correct those evil dudes, those that are not right. Just hold your peace and let the Lord fight some of these battles. Yeah. I know I'm teaching right. Yeah. And so how we get in error? "Oh, Lord, I'm not rebellious. Oh, God, I..." Impeach the man. You got mad when he... We got mad when they did when he pardoned him. Yeah, a lot of people got mad. They should crucify him. Reason cannot bear thinking. Listen to this. Reason cannot bear thinking. Sinners will only be aggravated further by the latter. People of the world live in reason, wherein then are we any different from the world, worldly people? If we too live in that realm, we just forget we're Christian. We just join the crowd. We lost all conviction. We lost all conviction about Jesus and what Jesus said. We forgot all about love. We forgot about everything. All we know is we had a reason. All we know is that, and I watched these things every night almost. I religiously watched them. And they had all the facts up. I said, they got the reason to do this thing. The other people can't see. And I would get mad. The Lord caught me on the carpet. And I heard the apostle say something that helped me so much. Thank God for my apostle. He keep me in line with God's word. See, we don't always know what to think right. We need somebody over to even help us to think what's right when it comes to God's word. You see? Put everything back in a proper perspective. It was hard for me to see perspective. Because you get blinded by this system. The world's system will blind you, and you don't see the plan of God sometimes. Just like how God used Pharaoh and Moses. You don't know what God is doing. Hold your peace. You see it? And don't get narrow with everybody else. You see it? It's easy to get narrow. Can you see what I'm saying? May the Lord have mercy upon our souls. Following the Lord demands deliverance from reasoning. I'm almost through. It is very true we need to have the eyes of our reasoning put out in order to follow the Lord. What governs our life? What governs our life? It's a question. What governs our life? Is it reason or is it authority? Now ask yourself that question. What governs your life? Reason or authority? When one is enlightened by the Lord, he will be blinded by the light, and his reason will be cast aside. That would happen to Apostle Paul. Paul had a reason for prosecuting the church. Yeah, he had a reason for that. Paul turned blind under the great light on the road to Damascus. No longer did he hold onto his own reason. Moses never had his eyes put out. Nevertheless, he acted as if he were blind. He had his argument and his reason, but in obedience to God, he lived above reason. Is that possible? To live above reasoning? Yes, the just shall live by faith. Lord, I don't understand everything, but I'm gonna follow you right here. I'm gonna follow you right here. Just what the man of God said, and I'm gonna follow you. I'm gonna trust you in that. I'm gonna trust my man of God. I'm gonna follow you. He had his argument and his reason, but he was obedient to God. He lived above reason. Those under the authority of God do not live by sight. The servant of God must be delivered from the life of reason. Reasoning is the first cause of rebellion. Underline that. Reasoning is the first cause of rebellion. Hence, there can be no control over our words unless reason is thoroughly dealt with. There's no control over our words because you're not going to speak until you convince yourself that you got a reason to speak. You got to have an argument, a reason. And once you put reason in its place, and once you put yourself back under authority, then you're going to speak only when you need to speak. Unless one is delivered by the Lord from the bondage of reason, sooner or later, he will utter slanderous words. Just a matter of time. Sooner or later, he will utter slanderous words. It sounds easy to talk about deliverance from the life of reasoning, but as rational beings, we can refrain from reasoning with God. It seems more difficult, and we reason from childhood to adulthood, from our state of as non-believers. Straight through until now. The basic principle of our life is reasoning. How then can we cease literally act for the very life of our flesh? Ooh, that's a powerful statement.
Yes, sir.
To cease We're acting for the very life of our flesh. That's the only way to do it, you know, because your flesh leads you into the most critical position you can get in, because it's so easy to try to please your flesh. Amen. I hope you took good notes, because that says some very important points that you're going to see again. All right? All right. Class is ended. Go in peace.